Hi everyone, welcome back to the Be More podcast, where we inspire you to be a little bit more of every role within the Salesforce ecosystem and beyond. Today we are exploring what it takes to be a Slack Enterprise Grid admin, and I'm joined today by Kevin. So Kevin, are you able to introduce yourself for us, please?
Yes, of course. Thank you so much for having me on, Tom. Hey everybody, my name is Kevin Rosario, and I am a Slack Enterprise Grid admin. I started my journey a few years ago when I was at IBM, and I joined the Slack at IBM team. Shout out to Tina Marge. Thank you so much for putting in a good word for me. At the time, I had really no idea what Slack was. You know, I used it here and there to just send messages and kind of use it as a DM tool, which is what a lot of people think it is. And from there, I became, you know, IBM's first Slack certified admin. And then slowly, you know, just got a lot more experience with the tool, where I ended up leading the divestiture from IBM to Kyndryl, specific to Slack. Mm-hmm. So moving 100,000 plus users from one company to another, and managing the expectations of both management and users, which is always completely different. And then from there, joined the consulting company, where we would help, you know, we'd help organizations do the exact same thing: how to manage Slack, how to improve productivity, collaboration, all the fun things that people think Slack is really not for. Because again, a lot of people just DM tool, but it's so much more if you really just allow it to be.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's definitely a potential email killer if you embrace it fully, and really looking forward to this conversation as somebody who kind of is more known and does more stuff in the Salesforce ecosystem. I had the opportunity to explore some of the Slack credentials myself and kind of worked my way up through the Slack admin and Slack consultant credentials recently. So looking forward to kind of testing myself really on what knowledge I do remember, and definitely looking forward to understanding what that means to actually put some of this theory in practice, right? Because I guess that's a skill in itself.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm looking forward to it as well. I mean, hey, if you're trying to take my position, I'll put up a good fight, you know?
Yeah.
I'm kidding.
We'll see. Yeah. Okay. So break it down for us, for our audience. Some of the words that we've used already, like enterprise grid and admin. Mm-hmm. Can you kind of define what your role as an enterprise grid admin is, and maybe start with just clarifying for our audience what enterprise grid even is?
Yeah, of course. So enterprise grid, or, you know, maybe later on you'll just hear me say grid, is the highest tier of Slack. So there's free, pro, business plus, and then enterprise grid, which is typically, you know, geared towards enterprises, large enterprises that have a lot of like security requirements, and maybe over roughly like 1,000 users to 5,000 users. Mm-hmm. Enterprise grid traditionally offers a lot more flexibility when it comes to certain APIs, like admin APIs, and it has additional capabilities like data loss prevention, e-discovery, things that, again, large organizations need in order to meet all their compliance requirements. So again, most customers typically don't use enterprise grid, mm-hmm, because they're small organizations, but once you pass a certain threshold, it just kind of makes sense to get on it.
Yeah.
So, you know, what it means to be an admin, an enterprise grid admin, it really depends on the organization you're in. Unfortunately, what I've seen a lot in IT is you have a team that manages, you know, 10 different tools. So they're just putting out fires constantly left and right, just doing support, helping, you know, resolving tickets, things like that, which is okay. You know, there's no shade to that, no shame in that as well. But where you really manifest that, you know, that improvement or that enterprise grid admin spirit is when you can see the entire environment and you really know, or you really start thinking, how can I improve it so that my users can improve their collaboration, improve their productivity? How can we take barriers away? How can we connect Slack with things like ServiceNow or Zoom, mm-hmm, or Outlook Calendar, you know, just Zapier, like all these different tools? Yeah. How can we connect all of this into one ecosystem to just have users spend 80% of their time in Slack rather than going back and forth between all these different applications and all these tools and really get hit with what they call the toggle tax. So it's like when you constantly go back and forth, your productivity just plummets.
Yeah, I definitely kind of suffered a little bit with email fatigue myself. So definitely popping things into Slack and collaborating with my peers makes things easier. And personally, I use it and have it connected to my Gmail and Jira. And then kind of bring those things together as well. And maybe like collaborate on a ticket or maybe collaborate on an email reply before we actually send the email reply, right?
Yes, absolutely. And that's, again, you know, one of the things a lot of organizations don't realize is Slack's like capability, or it's one of its most powerful capabilities, is that collaboration. Now, people, and I was guilty of this when I was at IBM, when I first joined IBM, always use it as a DM tool. Like, hey, can you send me this? Can you do that? But like, when you work on a project as a team, by siloing that question or that information, you're removing that capability or that learning experience from the rest of your team. So it's also just like a mind shift to go from like private one-on-one, so more openly public forum, and asking questions where others can see it. It's a little scary at first, but that's, I mean, it's the whole purpose of it. I don't think people are going to judge you. And if, unfortunately, people judge you for asking a question that's valuable, then I think there are other issues at hand.
Yeah, definitely. And I think, the kind of general rule is collaboration. The majority of what you're doing in Slack should happen in the channels. You should really be using the DMs sparingly, right?
Yeah, exactly. Give everybody the opportunity to learn from your questions and even your answers is the way I view public channels particularly, and even private channels.
Yeah, definitely. And how do you achieve all of this while making sure the system is secure and you're meeting maybe some of those regulatory requirements that you kind of hinted at earlier?
Ooh, that's a loaded question.
Yeah.
So focusing on Enterprise Grid, Slack, as you know, Slack the company, typically has ideas of how they want their clients to set up their environment. So one of the pros to Enterprise Grid is you could have multiple workspaces. So all the other plans is just a single workspace where you have all your channels, whereas Enterprise Grid, you could have unlimited amount of workspaces. When we were doing the migration from IBM to Kyndryl, they suggested we have a workspace for internal communications. So only people in the company can be there, or channels that are related only to internal projects are there.
Yeah.
You have an external workspace where if you need to collaborate with a client, partner, vendor, you have it there and you use a channel naming convention, something like EXT-project channel name with the client. And there and only there could you actually talk to your external peers. And then sometimes you had like a third one for social channels, you know, like dogs or cats, pets, which could just be, you know, merge into the internal one. But now Slack has been changing the way that they're thinking of how to do that. And I think they're just simplifying it to, hey, you could have one workspace, no problem, but use channel naming conventions. So again, anything, any channel with external, you know, partners, vendors, clients, just name it EXT-vendor name, project name, et cetera, but use it with Slack Connect. So Slack, kind of funny, Slack company, Slack tool. Slack company is really pushing, or has been pushing, the notion of Slack Connect for years as the more secure way of connecting with these external partners. So rather than inviting them into your environment as a guest and them using a username and password that is not associated to your single sign-on, you know, rather than doing that, you force them to either have a Slack plan. It could even be free, which I have my own thoughts on that. But essentially, it secures your environment by forcing you to only have them in specific channels, while also not being necessarily responsible for their account deactivation. So the summary is, use Slack Connect, use channel prefixes, you know, channel naming conventions. And if you must use guests, if you must use guests, ensure that they have a deactivation date, you know, 30, 60, 90, whatever the policy is for your organization. That way, you just have to have a continuous business need. If they need to stay active, you just re-up them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's great, solid advice there. I use Slack Connect with Salesforce themselves. I'm actually privileged to be in their own. They have a separate external workspace. So within that workspace, working with people on like super badges or exams or whatever it may be. And they definitely do that really well because they have different channels within that workspace that I can see if I'm allowed to see. Mm. If I'm not, then I'm not. And it's kind of tied back to my own personal kind of workspace itself. Like I'm a Slack Connect user into the Salesforce external workspace. So
yeah.
That kind of, I guess, offloads the admin burden to my workspace, my home workspace, exactly. If that makes sense.
Yeah.
definitely understand that. And I think that's great advice there with the guest policy. So I'm going to try to remember that one going forward for my own benefit. Yeah. So thinking about your role as a grid admin, how do you interact with other roles like users and maybe, I don't know, the data protection team or the legal team? Like, how does that work in reality?
Yeah. I wish I could say it's extremely easy. and direct. Well, it is direct. The reality is, when you own the enterprise grid, either you're the main owner or you're an org admin, you know, you're part of the team, you're going to have all these different teams like InfoSec, legal, HR reaching out to you or your leader saying, hey, we need XYZ to happen yesterday. So how can we balance all these different teams and organizations within the company? It's hard, honestly. Like, you are putting out fires left and right. Sometimes InfoSec will want something. You know, they want the strictest restrictions that you could ever find in Slack because they just don't really know what the capabilities are. I've had in the past where they did not want to use Slack Connect because they felt or they understood that we are adding all these external people to our environment. And, you know, once we broke it down that that's not the case, it's actually the more secure solution. They came around and, you know, realized that, yeah, we should be using this. So oftentimes it's teams are just, you know, they have their own things going on. They have their own files putting out. So they just, hey, we need this done and that's it. So we just need to spend time educating all the relevant teams, like what these features are. For the users, that is the hardest, but it's also the most fulfilling because working with users, like, you know, they are the end users. They experience all the little changes that go out either from Slack Corporation itself or policies that we implement. So using your users is a great way to truly test like whether or not the changes are effective, you know, from an organizational standpoint, because oftentimes we just push changes. We say, that's good enough. It's going to be good, but we could do a lot more harm than intended. So a lot of organizations actually have Slack champions. Mm-hmm. Slack Corporation can also help, you know, build that up. But the idea is you have a core group of people within your company who love Slack, who are passionate about it, and want to, you know, kind of be that sounding board, either for feedback, for changes that you want to push out, but even increase the use of Slack within the company. They're the ones who go to their respective departments and say, hey, let's get out of email. Let's connect these tools. Let's do XYZ. They're the champions.
Thinking about your role as a Slack grid admin, do you do this alongside other responsibilities or does the kind of role of being an admin for an enterprise grid organization kind of keep you busy?
It depends on the organization.
Mm.
I meant, you know, very early on, a lot of teams just mash all these different tools and just give it to a few people and say, all right, y'all got to take care of all of this.
Yeah.
IBM, I was lucky. I only focused on Slack when I was on the team. Then when I moved over to Kyndryl, I was a team leader for like Jira, Slack, Watson Media, WebEx, Mural, and another one.
Mm.
So I spent like a lot of time having to go back and forth between the applications. Luckily, the other, we had like really, really good admins for all the tools. So I didn't have to like do much of it, but having to switch between back and forth and look at the overarching strategy for collaboration, the collaboration suites, really did take some time away from being a Slack admin, which was not great. And even when I was at Slalom, I was the grid owner and still having to consult for external clients. It was like I want to focus on the internal like managing, but as a consultant, we need to focus on providing for our clients. So it did take a lot of time off or away from it. In an ideal world, you focus entirely on it. You push all these amazing changes. You work with all teams, HR, finance, whatever. You really get them involved and really learning on Slack. But the reality is, you're gonna own a lot of different tools. Just like anybody within the IT sphere can say.
Any kind of tips between juggling those different systems and responsibilities?
Prioritize, because some tools have a lot larger base. So in your company, if you use Slack and that is your form of communication, everyone's on Slack. You might have Jira as well, but only a small team uses Jira. It doesn't make them any better or worse or more important or less important or anything like that. But if both applications have a big issue, you need to prioritize the one that affects the most people or has the largest impact. Yeah. So not only is it assessing the situation, it's assessing the impact. And sometimes you just need to let one, unfortunately, like drop for a few days.
What's having the biggest impact? Like if somebody in the data protection team is coming to you with a GDPR request and then there's somebody else that can't log in, the GDPR request is probably going to be more
exactly
important,
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. And there, one of the things that I learned from one of my previous managers was you have to set up the avenues for these requests or for these teams. Mm-hmm. Someone says like, hey, I can't add an emoji.
You gotta wait.
Yeah. but these avenues are for these like very important issues. When legal has something that needs to be done right now, you have to have that avenue or that specific private channel where they could just go directly to the source. So creating all these different channels or all these different like processes is just really one of the many keys to success in managing all these different applications. If your company has an amazing help desk and the company empowers the help desk to actually do the work they need, your life as an admin will be so much easier. If you don't have to answer or respond to these very basic repetitive questions or requests, that'll open up all your time.
Definitely. And I think kind of leans on the importance of those Slack champions as well. If somebody can ask a champion within their department a routine question, like, I don't know, how to reset their password, then they don't need to interrupt other teams. So I think that's the kind of the power and the value of having those types of roles too, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. The Slack champions, they will be, the number one, go to, you have a Slack champions channel, people can ask, they'll answer. But it also just goes into things that it goes into something that a lot of organizations don't do. And it's education, like Slack education. Yeah. Oftentimes people just post in channel like, hey, how do I reset my password? But they don't search. They don't press that control F, or they don't go in the search bar how to do it. Slack is, what's the acronym? Searchable log of all communications and knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
So its power really is that search capability. So going back to the education, a lot of teams or a lot of organizations just don't teach users how to effectively use Slack. So then people just use it as a DM tool. They get upset with it. It's like, oh, if you can educate the user base, teach them how to search, you will save so much time and energy.
Yeah, exactly. I think it's about empowering the users to ultimately self-serve a little bit and maybe be able to find that information for themselves. So
organizations that empower their users and give them the most capability, to like, let's say, archive a channel, create workflows, do all these things, I personally think that they are the most successful, because let users be users. Sometimes they might do something that might break something or might, you know, need a lot of admin help. But overall, letting users do what users need to do will help push the business just go forward. At the same time, we'll give you some breathing room, because if you had to approve every workflow, if you have to approve every channel, if you have to do all of this, it's over.
And the same for apps as well. If you had to approve every app, you're kind of increasing your own workload there. So set up your trusted apps and allow everybody to install Gmail. Like, that might be fine, right? So yeah, totally. Okay, so kind of picking up the pace a little bit, but thinking about if you were listening to this podcast and you were perhaps looking to explore this role a little bit more, what tips or advice would you give to somebody looking to kind of start out?
Be curious. Always ask questions. Always ask questions like why. One of the things a previous manager told me, who works at Slack now, someone asked me for something and I was like, yeah, sure. And he's like, but why? I'm like, yeah. What do you mean why? You're supposed to just keep on asking why, because if someone says, I need you to do something, and you ask why, you might get to a different outcome. You know, if you had just done it from the beginning, you could have gone route A, but if you ask why five times, you could have gone down route B, which is a lot simpler and be like, you know, saved a lot of time. So definitely be curious. And two, if you're passionate about, you know, maybe like change management or wanting to change how people work, if you want to create new processes, I'd say it's perfect. Again, if the organization really values that, this is a perfect type of role.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, you will definitely have some more technical questions. But if you can carve out that like niche of that change management and really re-educating or reinvigorating your company or your team to change the way they work, then it's amazing. And I'd say lastly, so be curious. If you love change management and want to help people, that's definitely it. And then lastly, just be persistent. I think right now it's hard, persistent in two ways. It's hard to find a Slack admin role right now, because again, companies just tend to lump it into just general IT services or IT teams. Persistent, go just do it. Learn all these different tools. It'll help you grow so much. And then the other side of persistence is what we were saying, you know, negotiating with different teams on pushing out new updates or creating new policies. Like, you have to be an advocate for both the company and the users. So if you can do that, you will be very successful in this role.
Thinking about your own journey, if you were to start again on the kind of path to becoming a Slack Grid admin, is there anything you would do differently or change?
Yes. It's a conflicting, I'm going to give a conflicting answer. When I first started, I was very passionate to be on the user's side. You know, whenever I heard a complaint or anything, I was, you know, always there, like on the scene, on the virtual scene, asking, you know, questions, clarifying things. And I'd get too involved in that. And it took me some time, you know, some burning. I got, you know, minor burns. You know, when you focus on the large changes and the roadmap, then you're able to really protect that lane. You can prepare yourself as much as possible so that if anything bad happens, you can take action really quickly. Whereas if you're focused on the small details of everyday, you know, like issues, then you're setting yourself up for failure because you're not prepared for those large changes or those large outages. So for anybody listening or watching, definitely stay committed to your users, but realize that you have to take a step back and make some changes or do some things that users might not like, but it is for the overall health of the company and the organization. Because if the users can't work, then that's a big issue.
Yeah, definitely. And I like how you kind of reflected on the making the mistakes and learning from the mistakes, because I think that's applicable to many roles in general. Mm-hmm. And it kind of shows that growth, like you've done something wrong, you've been burnt by it perhaps, so in the future you're not going to do the same thing again and experience the same issue, right?
Hopefully.
Yeah. Perhaps there are misconceptions or like mm-hmm. a myth about what it takes to be a Slack grid admin. Like, is there anything you'd want to kind of demyth or kind of debunk, or perhaps even just clarify for the audience, like what it means to be a Slack grid admin?
Slack yeah. admins can read all your messages. No, we can't. Like, I mean, like, in order to do that, oh my God, there's so much legal things that have to go through. And we would get in so much trouble, like fired on the spot if we were to ever read anybody's messages. So one, yeah, we can't. It's, there's no UI to read messages. There's no easy, like, oh, what did Kevin say? We cannot do that.
Yeah.
Cannot do that. So when you're going to send a DM to your friend and you're saying, oh my God, my manager can read it. No, they cannot. Only legal has the authority to ever request anything.
Bringing it to a close, unfortunately, but before we do go, what's a way for people to connect with you? And is there any particular content you'd like to kind of shout out?
Yeah, you could connect with me on LinkedIn, Kevin Rosario. That, or I'm also semi-active in the Slack Champion Network workspace. Mm-hmm. Could have any of your CSMs, your success managers add you to it, or if you have a friend that's in it. I'm also in the Slack community workspace. Yeah. Not as active there, but regardless, you could find me in either. I'll respond no matter what.
Yeah.
Slackcertified.com as well.
Yeah.
Has all the information for, you know, skills, you know, maybe like mini badges, and even the Slack certified admin, consultant, and developer paths.
Mm-hmm.
I am trying to write some blog posts and putting it on LinkedIn. I did one, but then I got a little lazy. So I'm hoping with some free time in the next few weeks, I'll be able to publish a few more, primarily on managing environments and also doing some very niche things like migrations from mm-hmm. grid
yep.
to lower plans, or, you know, between the same level of plans. So hopefully you'll see that soon.
Awesome. Well, looking forward to seeing that. Thanks again for your time today. And hopefully we inspire some more people to be more Slack grid admins. So thanks again.
Thank you so much for having me, Tom. Really appreciate it.
Thanks for tuning in to Be More with Tom Bassett. Don't forget to like, subscribe, and leave any feedback in the comments.